انت بتسمع تسعينات اف ام، اجمل ذكريات.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host Farah and this is my show Music with Farah on 90s FM. Before we start, if you'd like to leave us a comment or suggest a song, drop us a call on +21 000 427 894. Tonight we're going to talk about the legends that brought a very beloved genre from their hometown to the world and used love, freedom, and spirituality to say exactly what was on their mind. This is Bob Marley and the Wailers. Now, before the big stadiums, the breakout songs, and the worldwide success, let's take it right back to the start in 1963, Kingston, Jamaica. Bob Marley and his childhood friend, Bunny Wailer, began attending vocal lessons held by Trenchtown residents Joe Higgs. He was a successful singer who mentored young singers in the principle of rhythm, harmony, and melody. In his yard, Higgs introduced Bob and Bunny to Peter Tosh, and they developed as a blues ska trio, going through multiple name changes including the Teenagers before settling on the Wailers. And so began the story of the Wailing Wailers. Eventually, Marley, Wailer, and Tosh linked with Clement Sir Coxon Dodd, a sound system operator turned producer and the founder of the Jamaican record label Studio One. The Wailers' first single for Studio One was Simmer Down, which became an overnight hit in Jamaica and reportedly sold over 80,000 copies. The Wailers went on to record several hits for Coxon, including Rude Boy, I'm Still Waiting, and an early version of One Love, and by the mid-60s, that ska melody turned into the rocksteady and signature reggae rhythm we now know of. Although the sales were good in Jamaica, Marley felt disillusioned and went to Delaware, where his mother, Sidella, was also there. He started working shifts in a car plant where the song Night Shift came to be. A year later, Marley returned and used the money he earned to open a record shop and label with the rest of the Wailers. This freedom and success as independent artists led them to Island Records. And in 1973, the Wailers released their first album on Island Records, founded by Chris Blackwell. And due to the first album's success, they followed up that same year with the album Burnin', which included their song Get Up, Stand Up, written by Marley and Tosh. The track itself was possibly written in response to a visit to Haiti, where Bob saw the poverty of the island's people. Although the song's inspiration would also have been from Marley and Tosh's early life in Jamaica. But all in all, the song says the same thing: to be persistent in life, have the desire to change, and find fulfillment now instead of waiting for it. This is Get Up, Stand Up.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, oh, tell me, heaven is under the earth.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
sick and tired of your ism, schism, game. Dine and go to heaven in Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you gonna
we gonna
do?
Stand up for
yeah,
a right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You better
get up, stand up
in the morning.
Give it up,
stand up for your right.
Stand up right now.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
And that was the iconic Get Up, Stand Up. From the same album comes one of the Wailers' most famous songs, I Shot the Sheriff. The song was a protest song written by Marley, but if you listen closely, it also tells a narrated story. We set the scene with our protagonist, who admits to shooting the sheriff. Throughout the track, the authorities search for our protagonist, but he maintains that his actions were an act of self-defense, although he repeatedly insists he didn't shoot the deputy. What's interesting about the song is the very clever storytelling, which opens the door to a variety of interpretations of what the song is about and its commentary on authority and justice. It's worth noting that this song was covered by Eric Clapton, and his version actually got more radio plays in Jamaica. Though both versions have their own style. But Marley's version is a song with a really catchy groove, but beneath that melody, look at the lyrical narrative Marley is painting. Here is I Shot the Sheriff.
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy. I shot them down, and I said,
That was the ever groovy I Shot the Sheriff. Now, although Burnin' was another successful album, the differences and tensions among Wailer, Tosh, and Marley had widened. Tosh started pushing his own solo career, and Wailer felt that the US and UK tours were compromising his beliefs and spirituality as a Rasta man because the band often played in clubs. Even more so, both Wailer and Tosh were not in agreement with Blackwell's decision to release albums under the name Bob Marley and the Wailers instead of the Wailers as they were. And unfortunately, Wailer decided he would no longer tour with the group, and soon after, Tosh followed, officially leaving by 1974. This change introduced the i3s, a very iconic female vocal trio who provided the harmonies for Bob Marley and the Wailers. The trio consisted of Rita Marley, who is an established singer since the mid-1960s with her original group, the Solettes, and is also Marley's wife. There was Marcia Griffiths, who was called the Queen of Reggae, and was already an international star. And finally, Judy Mowat, who was a highly respected roots reggae singer who also had her own group called the Gaylettes. In 1976, Bob Marley released War, a track from his Rastaman Vibration album. This was one of Marley's most important songs. The track was largely adapted from a speech delivered by Ethiopian Emperor Haile Selassie, where he famously declared that lasting peace will remain an illusion until basic human rights were guaranteed to all, regardless of race. For Marley and Mary Rastafarians, Selassie was a deeply important figure, and Marley transformed his words into music, creating a statement on equality and human rights. This is War.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until there are no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, it's a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. And it's a war that until that day, the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality, will remain but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that hold our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, by human bondage have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. Miss a war
no peace. We Africans will fight, we find it necessary, and we know we shall win, as we are confident in the victory of good over evil.
And that was War. Now for a little switch up and diving into the more relaxed tracks of Marley. This is one of Marley's best known songs, and the track didn't come immediately. A little backstory, before performing in a free concert called Smile Jamaica, Marley, Rita, and Marley's manager were shot in his home. However, that did not stop Marley, as the next day he appeared in the concert in front of 80,000 Jamaicans before leaving the country and spending time in England, where he recorded albums Exodus and Kaya. Kaya is more carefree, relaxed, deeply personal, reflecting Marley's mood at the time. And leading the way is the track Is This Love, which peaked at number 9 in the UK charts upon its release in 1978. It became one of Marley's best-known songs, and it's a sweet exploration of love and commitment, and is often recognized as an expressive love letter for his wife Rita. The track is beloved for capturing the feeling of wanting to spend the rest of your life with someone while questioning, falling, and surrendering to the feeling. So if you catch yourself asking if it's real and if it's love, this one's for you.
Every day and every night, we'll that table.
We've explored the romantic and lighter side of Marley, but this next song is anchored in something much deeper, unwavering loyalty. High Tide or Low Tide was recorded during the pivotal Catch a Fire sessions, but it wasn't released and was kept in the vault for years. The song is a beautiful, emotional track that's softer in tempo and focuses on the themes of loyalty, love, and friendship throughout the verses and choruses. The song's theme starts with an unconditional love, which can be interpreted as a loyal friendship between two people who reassure each other whether the tide is high or low, they'll be there for each other. And the other verses are even more beautiful, as Marley reflects on the lingering memory of hearing his mother praying. If you listen closely, you're here. God, guide us and protect us. When we are wrong, correct us. This moment reflects Marley's spirituality and comfort that he remembers from his mother's prayer. Although the themes of the song are right there in the open, the song can be reflected and interpreted in so many different ways. For some, it's about love. For others, it's about faith, friendship, family, and keeping everyone together. This is the incredible High Tide or Low Tide. That was the beautiful High Tide or Low Tide. Now, our next song is an extremely beloved track called Three Little Birds. The track was released on the album Exodus in 1977 and reached the top 20 in the UK, peaking at number 19. Now, when it comes to this specific song, there's a couple interpretations out there, and this topic remains disputed on what Marley's exact inspirations of the song was. Some say that Marley was using the birds as a metaphor for something else, while others say that the lyrics are directly inspired by the birds that Marley was fond of that used to fly near his home. This iteration of birds is supported by Marley's friend, Tony Gilbert. Tony said that Marley got inspired by a lot of things around him, but there were three little birds, canaries, more specifically, who would regularly visit the windowsill at Hope Road. The other story of how the song came to be is from i3 member Marcia Griffiths, who recalls that Marley referred to her, Rita, and Judy as the three little birds. After a show, there would be an encore and the people would want them to go back on stage. And so Marley would turn to them and say, "What are my three little birds saying?" Although there's a variety of interpretations, one thing is clear. It's an upbeat, relaxed reminder to keep moving forward. So sit back, relax, and as Marley says, don't worry about a thing. And that was the absolutely beautiful Three Little Birds. Our next track is also an extremely famous track called Could You Be Loved? The track was released in 1980 on the album Uprising. The song was very successful on the charts in Europe, peaking within the top 10 in Belgium, France, Ireland, Italy, and the Netherlands. So the song was written on an airplane, although there are varied stories of how it was played. The song is a cool genre fusion blending both disco and reggae. If you listen closely to the i3s in the background of the song, they're actually quoting a verse from Marley's first single he recorded as a teen before becoming a wailing wailer called Judge Not. The lyrics go, "The road of life is rocky and you may stumble too. So while you talk about me, someone else is judging you." The sound of the recording is distinct because they use a Hohner clavinet, which is an electric string keyboard that was originally intended for home use, but it started becoming more popular on stage and could also be used to create electric sounds on a keyboard. In the track, they also used a Brazilian cueca, which is a Brazilian direction drum. It's frequently used in carnivals and often in samba music, giving that edge of funk combined with that disco and reggae. Without further ado, here is Could You Be Loved? That was the iconic Could You Be Loved? Now, away from the light romantic side, there is a song called Wake Up and Live, which was the opening track of Marley's 1979 album, Survival. 2 years after Marley's self-imposed exile following an assassination attempt, he returned to Jamaica for the historic One Love Peace concert. And right after, he went to find his songwriter friend, Anthony Sanji Davis. And then he recalls that one morning, around 5 o'clock, he hears someone outside his gate, and he finds Marley outside waiting for him. At the time, Sanji had just received his driver's license and was looking for a job. Lo and behold, when Marley appeared at his door asking if he got his license, both guys were on their way riding a yellow Volkswagen bus. As they drove through Kingston, they saw roadworks ahead taking place on several passageways. Seeing these signs almost became a metaphor for the trials of life, and Anthony began sharing this with Marley. As they were driving and approached the ferry, a sign advertising an over-the-counter powder to treat stomach aches called Andrew's Liver Salt caught Anthony's eyes. The sign said, "Wake up and live. Drink Andrew's Liver Salt." And so that became the title of the song, "Wake Up and Live."
Tomorrow you're buried in the casket.
And that was the legendary Wake Up and Live. Now, one of the very iconic Marley songs is Buffalo Soldier. The song was written by Noel King Sporty Williams. Marley had heard the song when Sporty played it in Miami, and that led to Marley adapting the song into a reggae style. Although this song did not appear on record until the 1983 posthumous release of Confrontation, where it became Marley's best-known songs. The title and lyrics of the song refer to the black U.S. cavalry regiments known as Buffalo Soldiers, who fought in the Native American Wars after 1866. The origin of the term Buffalo Soldier is theorized as given to the black troops by Native Americans because of their dark curly hair, which resembled a buffalo's coat. Aware of the buffalo's fierce bravery and fighting spirit, the African American troops accepted the name. At the time, buffalo soldiers played an important role in protecting settlers, building forts and roads, as well as mapping wilderness as the U.S. settled and developed in the West. However, the song was met with some criticism as activist Dick Gregory criticized Marley for the song as early as 1979 when meeting him ahead of their joint appearance at the Amandla Festival. Gregory stated that it conveyed a false image of the soldiers who played in campaigns against Native American communities during the westward expansion, although Marley had allegedly not been aware of these circumstances when writing the song. This is Buffalo Soldier.
Buffalo Soldier, dreadlock. Africa, brought to America.
And that was the legendary Buffalo Soldier. Up next is Redemption Song, which was the final track on Marley's album Uprising. The song was absolutely one of the more serious compositions of Marley, especially with the fact that he had been diagnosed with a malignant melanoma tumor under a toenail, and he decided not to have the toe amputated. He carried on touring, writing, and recording, but unfortunately, within 2 years, Marley was in severe pain, and according to his wife Rita, he was writing material that dealt with his mortality. The song is considered Marley's greatest work, and unlike most of Marley's tracks, this song is completely a solo acoustic recording of just him and his guitar. The song was a direct message to his listeners to carry on the message of love and unity without him. It's also a song where he reminds the world that love and inner truth are the tools to correct the future. This is Redemption Song.
Old pirates, yes, they rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. All I ever have, redemption songs. These songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
And that was the legendary Redemption Song. Now, our next track is a very slow mid-tempo root reggae song. Now, roots reggae has more emphasis on the bass. It has a really good groove, and the song is usually more message-driven instead of more sing-song. The song is Stiff-Necked Fools, which is a mix of chanting, preaching, and singing, and the melody takes the forefront of the song. Although there's little information on the track itself, the song grapples and draws from both the biblical language and Rastafarian philosophy, as Marley calls out those who are too stubborn to see the truth around them. Stiff-necked fools are not just individuals, but they're people and systems that reject wisdom, justice, and spiritual awareness.
Stiff-necked fools, you think you are cool to deny me for simplicity. Yes, you are gone for so long with your love for vanity now. Yes, you have got the wrong interpretation.
For the last track of the night, I want to play one of the most iconic and beloved songs of Bob Marley. But before that, Bob Marley was such a gifted artist who grappled with politics, music, faith, love, and everything in between. From starting as a wailer and cementing his legacy as an icon of reggae music. Marley's music will forever hold the message of peace and love to the world, as his rhythms and lyrics float everywhere around the world. Our final song of the night captures the essence of Bob Marley and his journey. He was a legend who started with a ska band, transforming into the Wailing Wailers, a reggae band that exploded with popularity in Jamaica and worldwide. Although he accumulated thousands and millions of fans, his fame skyrocketed further after his death, becoming one of the most famous posthumous artists of all time. His legacy of spreading peace, love, and freedom floats through the world, and his wisdom never ends. Even more, that legacy is passed down through all his children and grandchildren, each generation echoing his sentiments. The Marley love keeps moving, especially with our final track of the night, No Woman, No Cry. It was released on the 7th album, Natty Dread, in 1974. The title and phrase, No Woman, No Cry, is actually often misunderstood. However, the title is more close-sounding to No Woman, Don't Cry. Rather than being a sad song, the song is actually a comforting one, reassuring someone through a difficult time. The song is an ode to everything close to Marley, like the public housing project Government Yards and Trench that Marley grew up in, and even the common breakfast food in Jamaica, porridge. Aston Barrett, the Wailers' bassist, said that the song is about the strength of women and mothers, and the important role they play in supporting those around them. While there may be a man to help, Barrett believed that behind every successful man is a strong woman. I've been your host, Farah, with my show, Music on Farah, on 90s FM. And I'll see you at the same time and same place. Thank you for tuning in, and enjoy the music.
Cause I the government's yard in Trenchtown. Yeah. And then Georgie would make the fire lights. I say, a log of wood burning through the nights. Yeah. Then we would cook cornmeal porridge. I say, of which I'll share with you. My feet is my only carriage, and so I've got to push on.